In your Bible, I want to read to you a very familiar passage of Scripture here in this passage, and I want to ask you to follow with me in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass that as angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I want to call your attention back to just one passage of Scripture in this text that I've read to you this morning. Notice what he said in verse number 10, what the angels announced to the shepherds. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, if you mark your Bible, will you mark those two words there? Great joy. Great joy. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this good gathering this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the singing of the congregation and the choir. Thank you for blessing Miss Pansy to be able to be here to play this morning. And God, we ask your continued blessing on her. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, our Father, will bless our Father in the balance of this service. Thank you for the choir and Brother Brad for their love for you and their dedication. Our Father, thank you for anointing them and singing this morning. Lord, thank you for Brother Chris and God for the great song. Our Father, wise men still do follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I pray you'd help us to be wise in the hour we're living in. Now, our Father, this morning, without you, we could do nothing. But God, I pray that God, the Holy Ghost, to come and move in our hearts this morning. God, I pray it not be just coming in and going out, but I pray, God, for your divine presence to be upon me and purge my mind and heart. Give to me, our Father, just exactly what you want me to say. Help me to know how to say it. And God, it'll be effective to touch the lives of men and women, boys and girls, not only in this building, but our Father in the radio audience and the internet audience. And God, we'll thank you and give you praise and honor and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. This is supposed to be the happiest time of the year. But you know, studies have revealed that Christmas is twofold. It is both the happiest time, or the most joyous time of the year, but at the same time, it is one of the saddest times of the year. And that's because of the way you approach it, the way you look at it. In this occasion here, it said that this was to be a time of great joy when Jesus came. And the joy, you know, does not come from the gathering, thus gathering together. It doesn't come from the glitter of the lights. It doesn't come from the gifts that are given. It doesn't even come from the grub. And I like the grub part of it, don't you? I like the eating. I like the fellowship with God's people. We'll do some of that tonight. But the joy comes from the message that was given. He said, notice in this passage of Scripture, the angel said this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." It's the message that makes the difference. It's the message. But what is the great joy of Christmas? I love this time of the year. I love to be with God's people. It's good to see you all here this morning. And I thank the Lord for your presence. I just love to be around God's people any time, but especially during this time of the year, we remember the birth of our Savior. But in this particular passage, what is the great joy? Now, I want you to keep in mind who's doing the speaking in that occasion. They're angels. They've just left heaven. They've stepped out over the battlements of heaven and come down into the earth. They left the glittering whiteness of God's glory. They left a place where there's no sickness or sorrow or pain. They left a place where there's only endless joy. They left a place where they're singing like we've never heard before. They left a place where all the redeemed of the Old Testament are in the very presence and glorifying God. But my dear friend, listen. They said, this message is great joy. Now, some people take pleasure in certain things, and their estimates of joy may vary from different person to different person, different things to different things. You know, whatever different things make people happy. But these angels have some concept of what real joy is all about. And they said, this is a message of great joy for all the people on the whole face of the earth. And thank God for that. What is the great joy of Christmas? What is it? There are several things this morning I'll point out to you. First of all, there's the great joy of the Savior's coming. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. I mean, of all the things that you could ever think about and imagine in your mind, and the concept that's hardest for us to get around, our mind around, is this, that Jesus Christ was God incarnate in human flesh. I pointed out on Wednesday night as we talked about the Lord in John 17, he prayed, Lord, Father, I pray that thou would give me the glory that I had with thee before the world began. Jesus Christ did not begin at Bethlehem, but he was clothed in human flesh. And what an amazing thing. David desired to build a temple. Solomon actually built the temple. But in that passage of Scripture, in those contexts, the Lord says to David this. He said, the heavens cannot contain me. The heavens, this universe, cannot contain God. But yet the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, that Jesus Christ came and he was enclosed and the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. Oh my, you think about the amazing fact that all of the Godhead was in Christ bodily. All the wisdom of God, all the love of God, all the power of God in that human body, a perfect human body fashioned and made for him so he could come, bleed, and die. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. 4,000 years have gone by since the day of the Garden of Eden and when they were there and the serpent beguiled Adam and Eve. And the prophet was made that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of that serpent. My dear friend, a fulfillment of prophecy takes place here. Throughout all that Old Testament, they kept looking for the Messiah. They kept looking for the Messiah to come. And here it is, this great joy. The Lord Jesus Christ clothed in human flesh. He's the Savior that came into the world. He's the one who came in the form of a little bitty baby. And thank the Lord for that. Notice how he's identified in verse number 11. For is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Those three identifications. He's Savior, and he's Christ, and he's the Lord. He's the Savior. He'll give his life a ransom. Jesus Christ said, I did not come to live. I came to die and to give my life a ransom. He'll do for men what they cannot do for themselves, what you can't do for yourself. He'll give you everlasting life. It's a gift. It's a gift. In just a few weeks now, just not very far off, the 24th, on Christmas Eve, we'll go on the highway and give out bags. And when we first started doing this, and then even now, those who go out on the highway, they find that people look at you with a big question mark when you try to give them something for nothing. Give them something free. And then when they realize that it's genuine, there's no strings attached, there's an unusual joy about it. And I've had people to tell me, and those of you who go on the highway with something, that it's unusual for people to give you something just because they care for you. My dear friend, listen, God gave you something in the person of his Son, no strings attached, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to be the Savior. That's so easy for me to say, it's so easy for you to say. My dear friend, he gave the darling of heaven his Son to be the Savior. How was he going to lead? Oh, he had enough intellect. He could have led. He had enough holiness. He could have been a great example. He had enough power. He could have done that. But he said, I've come to give my life a ransom. The only way a person can go to heaven is through the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid that sin debt for anybody, for the whole world, my dear friend. And the great joy of heaven and the great joy of Christmas is this, that the Savior's come. He's the Savior. But notice something else in this passage of Scripture. He's identified not only as Savior, but my dear friend, he's anointed. He said he is the Christ. That is the Messiah. That is the sent one. He's the one that Israel was anticipating. But sadly, the Bible said he came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As a nation, Israel did not recognize him as Messiah, as the sent one. But my dear friend, he came to be the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is Messiah. And listen, it said he came unto his own received him not, but to as many as did, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Thank God there are many Jews who got saved. Thank God this Bible is a Jewish Bible by the authorship of humans, but by the hand of the Holy Spirit of God, because the Bible said that every word in this Bible is God-breathed. But my dear friend, there were some who got saved. Just like in America today, there's some who trust Christ. My dear friend, the gospel's for everybody, but so many have rejected him. But he's the Savior. And he is the Messiah. He's the sent one. But notice, he said he's Lord. He's the sovereign. He can do anything. Thank God he is the Savior. And the great joy of this Savior is this, that he is the Lord. He's sovereign over everything. With him, I've read over again the Christmas story. And when Mary was approached and the great announcement that she would bear the Christ child, she said, how can these things be? I've never known a man. And the Bible, Word of God said that the angel said that with God, all things are possible. God can do anything. And Jesus Christ is Lord. And thank God. The great joy is that Savior and that sent one and that sovereign loves you. And that brings me to the second thing I want to say. The great joy is not only that the Savior came, but it is that the sinner can be cleansed because he came. Greatest thing that Brad said he ever did, the wisest thing he ever did was trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Anybody can be saved. Anybody can be born again. But the great joy, notice, I say it and other people say it, and it is all about him. But in this passage of Scripture, it's all about you. Notice what he said to these shepherds. And the angels said unto them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. My dear friend, it's all about you. Why did he leave heaven? Why did he come down here? He's not willing that any should perish. He's come, the Bible said, to give his life a ransom, to shed his blood. And Peter said, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin, redeemed with not with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood can cleanse you from all sin. And the great joy is this, I don't care who you are, where you are, in the sound of my voice this morning, that Jesus Christ, through his shed blood, can cleanse you from every sin and make you a brand new creature. Wouldn't it be good to start all over again? Wouldn't it be good to have all those dark days behind you? Wouldn't it be good to have every sin blotted out and never be remembered against you again and to live a life of joy and victory? That's the good news. And it is that a Savior's come, but sinners can be cleansed. And that's the way it happens. It's not by your work. It's not by my work. It's not, Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And the great joy of heaven is the cleansing of the sinner to make him a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. My dear friend, he healed the leper from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. And they fall before him and worship him. My dear friend, listen, when he cleanses a sinner, he does the same thing. All sin, every bit of it's gone. To begin new. You say, Brother Billy, I've been in such bondage. I've done so many wicked things. But let me tell you the great joy of Christmas. And it's this, that the Savior's come, but that the sinner can be cleansed, made brand new, washed white, and made perfectly clean in his own blood. Notice, if you will, please, this passage of Scripture. I've read over this, I don't know how many times. The angels never told them to go to Bethlehem. Didn't tell them. They didn't say, you got to go to Bethlehem, or you ought to go to Bethlehem. Read it over and over again. They said, we've come. Fear not, we bring you good tidings of great joy. For it's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior. They didn't tell them to go. But as soon as the angels were gone, they took off. Why? I believe in the first place that they were anticipating the arrival of Messiah. It's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Christ, the Lord. When they heard that there was somebody who could save them, when they heard that there was somebody who was the Messiah, when they heard that he was Lord, there was something inside of them anticipating and anxious for that. But I believe also inside of them, there was an acknowledgement. It's born unto you a Savior. And when they knew that there was a Savior for them, they went quickly to where he was at. My dear friend, listen, the gospel of this appeal to you. And I heard Dr. Seitler say it many years ago. People were talking about giving all types of it. Dr. Seitler said the gospel has its own invitation in it. The gospel has its own invitation in it. And my dear friend, listen, there's something in the heart of men that they lost and rejected Christ. But when they hear the gospel, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And my dear friend, listen, it has a draw to it. There is that wooing, drawing of the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, no man comes to the Father but by me, and no man comes to me except the Spirit of God draw him. My dear friend, there was an acknowledgement on their part that he needed to be their Savior. When Jesus Christ speaks to our heart and we see him like he really is, and people understand the gospel, they naturally go to Christ. It's a good thing to come to church. I'm glad you're here. We've got a good crowd here this morning. It's a good thing to go to religious gatherings. It's a good thing to go to Sunday school. But going to church and going to Sunday school does not save. It's when you go to the Savior that makes the difference. And my dear friend, listen, these shepherds go to the Savior. They go to the Christ. They go to the sent one. And they go to the sovereign. They respond and come to him. And thank God. Listen, my dear friend, notice what it says over in the book of Luke chapter 2 again at verse number 29. Here's the priest, Simeon, who for many years now have served in that priestly role. No, I don't know how many sacrifices he offered. I don't know how many times that he interceded on the behalf of his nation, the Israel, and individuals. But he, in verse number 29, says this, they bring to him the Lord Jesus Christ at the temple. And he said he took him in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He's holding in his hand a little baby. I was over looking at Owen a while ago. And then Thomas down here, I think she just took him, not this Thomas. We got two Thomases here today. But the little one just not quite 2 years old. But listen, he's holding a baby in his hands. But he said, I'm seeing salvation. Salvation is in that Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to see him as more than just a man, more than just a baby. If you'll see him as Savior, it'll be the greatest joy you've ever known. To have all your sins forgiven. My dear friend, the great joy of heaven is the cleansing of the sinner. Thank God Christmas is a special time to all of us who are saved, because we remember the death and burial of our resurrection. And as all those involved in the hanging of greens, Miss Frances and everything the other Sunday night, every time I see these poinsettias, I think about the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see the reef. I think about the endless love of God. I see the spine and thorns on the holly, and I think about his crown of thorns that was placed on his head. When I see the lights bright and glistening, I think about him being the light of the world. He's a Savior. My dear friend, when I think about that I was lost and on my way to hell, and that I could be in hell today, but I'm going to live forever in a place called heaven, it's a great joy to me to know that he came for me, for you. He said, there's a Savior born unto you. Thank God he came for you. How many of you know he came for you? Raise your hand today. Thank God. That's a great joy, isn't it? To know he came for you. Not only good news for all the whole world, but for you, it's personal. And it ought to be personal in your life that you trust him as your personal Savior and Lord. But thank God the great joy of heaven is not only the Savior's coming, not only the sinner's cleansing, but it is Satan's defeat. Boy, I want to tell you, he came, the Bible said in the book of Genesis, that he, this seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, will crush the head, bruise the head of Satan. Jesus said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. Oh, listen, sin reign, death reign. But the Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ came, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. I mean, he did such a good job of it. He said this, he that liveth and believeth in me, though he would yet shall live, he that believeth in me, though shall never die. Listen, because you trust him, because you've been born again by the grace of God, all of that, the work of the devil's been defeated. He wanted every one of you to be in hell. But thank God the joy is this, we're not going there, amen? We're going to go to heaven. And he's defeated the work of the devil in our life. Oh, I see people, and my heart breaks at young people. Oh, how God fashioned them, created them in the womb, had such great plans for them, and they rejected Christ. Many of you have family members, kids, children, grandkids, and your heart breaks over them because you know that what they could have done and what they could have been, and it breaks your heart to know how they're living. But my dear friend, you think about God. Regina and I were talking about this week. You think about the Lord who came and suffered and bled and died, and people reject him, and they live in heartache and sorrow and ruined lives and die premature death. They get involved in all kind of sin, all kind of wickedness, and everything else. Their life is ruined, their body's destroyed, and then they end up in hell. No wonder he wept over the city of Jerusalem, because he knew what they could have. He knew what they could have. The Bible says, Satan comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his intent. He doesn't intend to bless you. He may throw out some little temporary thing, joy, some type of happiness, some type of material thing, but it all has a hook in it. His intent is to kill, to destroy. Years ago, the immigrants who came into the nation, I'm not saying all of them now, but many years ago, the immigrants who came into this nation, they came to be a part of this nation. They came to be here. They saw the lifestyle of Americans. They saw the joy. They saw the peace. They saw the opportunity to work. They saw the spirit of unity. And they wanted to be here. It's a land of the home, the free of the and joy, and the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness, all those things. That's why they came, to be a part. But the sad thing is true, and it's a reality, and you can hide and you can deny it if you want to, and anybody in government can deny it. But there are people who are coming into this country now, they have no intent of being a part. They're coming into this nation to tear apart this nation. And Satan comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ in my life and in those of you who've been saved, he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to set us free from bondage of drugs and alcohol and everything else. He came to forgive us of all of our sin. He came to give us victory. And he said, even after we are saved, if we'll surrender to him, yield to him, humble ourselves before God, and if we'll humble before God, resist the devil, he'll flee from us. My dear friend, he came to defeat Satan. And the great joy of heaven, of Christmas, is this. It is that Satan is a defeated foe if we operate in the realm of the spiritual. And thank God for that. But not only this, he's thank God for the Savior's coming and the cleansing of the sinner. But my dear, thank God that Satan has been conquered, but also thank God for the saint's comfort. He didn't come to save us and leave us. He didn't come to save us and say, now do the best you can. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. And my dear friend, the great comfort is, even in this dark hour of our nation, that he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll be with God's people. He'll be with those who've trusted him as Savior. His divine presence, thank God for that. And listen, I thank the Lord for his abiding presence. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. What brings this great joy of Christmas? It is the abiding presence of Christ, the great comfort that he'll never, ever leave us or forsake us. but not only his abiding presence, my dear friend, but his abounding provision. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's going to take care of his children. He's got adequate supply for everything you need. God's going to take care of you. God bless you. God will meet every need you've got. You may go through dark days. You may go through some physical problems. You may go through some family problems, financial problems. Everything in the world may go haywire around the house. A ceiling might fall out of your dining room, everything else. But you know what? He's a great God. And he has a abundant, he has an abounding provision. He said he can give us more than we need, more than we need. But then also I'd say this to you. He has abundant power. Thank God, listen. He said, without me, you can do nothing. I had an unusual experience this past week. I went to a place of business and dedicated that business to the Lord. I prayed over schools and hospitals and everything else. But these folk called me and wanted to know if would I come and do a dedication for their new business and for that place. And I said, I will. And I read in the book of Job where it says this, Satan's gone through the earth and he's trying to try God's people. The Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Now, the devil said this. He's checked him out. But he said, Job doesn't serve you for naught. He said, you put a hedge around him. And he said, you have blessed the labor of his hands and you have provided abundance for him. My dear friend, listen. I shared with those folk at that place of business. Job was righteous and eschewed evil. If you'll love God and serve God, he'll take care of you. He'll bless you. And the thing is this, you can't do it all on your own. You can't, I know you can't be a good husband, you can't be a good wife, you can't do it. You don't have the power, but he has got abundant power for whatever you need. God will take care of you. God made that promise to you. And the great joy of Christmas is that he will be with us and he'll help us. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 talks about that early church and in that city and said there was great joy. In John 15, verse number 11, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I've come that your joy might be full. Peter talks about our unspeakable joy. And then the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, it talks about the exceeding joy. I'm telling you, exceeding joy of God. Look over in Psalms number 35, please. Psalms 35, this one passage of Scripture in verse number 9. You might want to make a note of this verse if you don't turn to it and look at it later. Here's what it said. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. My dear friend, there's great joy in knowing the Lord. And I rejoice in him that I'm his child, been washed in his blood. And it's the great joy of the Christian to know that he'll never, ever leave us or forsake us. He came to save us, but he came to stay with us as well and to carry us to heaven. Thank God for that. Oh, listen, there's the great joy. There's the great joy of the saints' commission. We are to go and tell this wonderful truth, this great joy. The Bible says of these shepherds that they left, and it said the shepherds returned glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. My dear friend, the wise men, the Bible said they left and they told all the things that they'd seen. My dear friend, it's great joy for Christians to tell the story of Jesus Christ in Christmas that they could be saved. Great joy to know him, but it's a great joy as well to see other people trust Christ. Be able to have a message, not of hate, not of destroying one another. And I'm glad that God called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And throughout the years, God's people have gone into every corner of the world and with the same message that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, resurrected victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's coming back again. But my dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friend, gives us that commission to tell that story. And everywhere that message has been preached and heard, it's radically changed lives. It's brought joy. where there was fear. It's brought light where there was darkness. It's brought life where there was only death. It's brought love where there was hatred. It's brought cleansing where there was only guilt and filth. My dear friend, that message can change a life. And you and I have the ability to. And the great joy is this, that we get to tell it. We get to tell it in every different way, CDs, tracks, verbally, by our lives, that there's a joy in us that the world can't take away. Because of the great joy of Christmas, David said, I will rejoice in the Lord, and in His salvation will I rejoice. I want you to bow your heads in prayer this morning. The great joy of Christmas. I want you to be a great time of joy for you. But you know, really the only way it is, I said in the very beginning that Christmas is both one of the happiest times of the year, one of the saddest. Because people remember childhood. They remember the lights and the trees and the gifts and the family. And when it doesn't bring that joy it used to, there's a great crashing of their emotions. But my dear friend, for those of us who've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, whether we have little or whether we have a lot, whether we've got abundance of gifts or just a few gifts, whether all of our families able to be together or some of them's already in heaven, there's a great joy to Christmas for us because we know that He came that we might be where He is, that we might behold His glory. And because we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we'd never ever say goodbye to our loved ones who are in heaven forever. We'll see Him in the morning. And to know that He'll take us and be with us no matter what, regardless of what happens in our life personally or in our family or in our nation, those of us who know the Lord have a great joy and a peace in our heart that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. Our Heavenly Father, in front of me this morning, a great host of people, I pray, God, that they'll have real joy and peace in this time of the year. But our Father, we understand it's the message, it's the good tidings of great joy. And the message is simply that Jesus Christ clothed Himself in a human body, suffered, bled, and died that we might have life, was buried and rose again. He's alive forevermore. And they can have joy and peace if they would but trust Him as Savior and Lord. God, I pray they'd understand that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God, I pray they'll respond and trust Him and accept that great gift of joy. Sin's gone, washed whiter than snow, the abiding presence of our Lord forever in this world. God, and all that You do for us here is nothing that could be compared for the glory that shall follow in heaven. And God, I pray, God, that, Lord, that'll be true of every person in this building, every person in the sound of my voice in the radio audience and internet audience. Our Father, the message of the cross, the babe of Bethlehem came to be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And God, I'm thankful that it's a joy. It is a message of tidings of great joy to all people, every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every race, that the message is the same, that You love them all the same, and that You gave Your Son to die for them. I pray, God, they'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. For those of us who are saved, our Father, I pray that we'll not keep this wonderful, joyous news to ourselves, but it shall live in our lives. It'll be a testimony in our workplace and everywhere we go. And our Father, You'll give us opportunities to share the message of the cross and the fact, the real truth of Christmas. And the great joy of Christmas is that a Savior is born, that He's the Christ, that He's the Lord. God, help us to do that with boldness. Would you stand with your heads bowed, eyes are closed, not give a long invitation this morning? But if you're not saved this morning, would you receive the greatest gift ever offered to mankind in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're here this morning, and we've had a wonderful month of Thanksgiving, I believe God's done a work in my heart and many of you. I believe you really expressed your gratitude for the whole month. But is there a greater gift ever given than your Savior, your salvation? I encourage you to worship Him during these few moments. Thank Him. You may feel led to come around this altar. Some people out of fellowship with Him now. You say, Brother Billy, I used to have the joy of the Lord. David in Psalms 51 acknowledged his sin, prayed for cleansing, and he asked God to return to me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't need salvation. He just needed this joy restored because of his cleansing. If you don't have that joy you had, I pray you'll come this morning, do business with God.